These women were the best women at that time? No. For sure, there might have been other people better than those people in terms of knowledge, righteousness, faith, and so on and so forth. So marriage is not only about faith, actions, and it's not about the knowledge of the unseen of the prophet for the future of these people.
Right.
And no, it's, I mean, a matter of, I mean, daily basis, and the prophet and the imams need to act upon like normal people.
I think the misconception there, Sheikh, it stems from the belief that because the prophet, he married so-and-so woman, it means that he chose her to be his wife.
Exactly.
And so he chose her to be a partner with him in his prophethood, in prophetic mission. And that's not true.
And the Quran tells us that at least in two cases, the wives of two prophets were disbelievers.
Right.
They didn't believe in God at all. They didn't believe in the prophet. So this is the first point. The second point is that now we come to this point. I mean, I'm talking about the knowledge of all the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, not especially about marriage. According to some narrations, Imam has the knowledge of everything, ilmu ma kan wa ma yakun, the knowledge of the past and future. But there is a discussion among the scholars that when we talk about the fact that the Imams, they know about the past, about the future, this is a potential knowledge, or practically speaking, they know everything. According to some narrations, this is a potential knowledge, meaning that if the imam wants to know something,
he can access it.
He can access it, and God will give it. إِذَا شَاءَ عَلِمَ, or according to another pronunciation, إِذَا شَاءَ عُلِّمَ. When imam desires, when imam wills, he knows, or he is taught, that is by God, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, and I think this is a valid point, meaning that although imam can have access to the knowledge of the unseen whenever and wherever he wishes, it doesn't mean that in all the cases he wanted to know. No. His willing to know is based on divine permission. I mean, they know whatever God wants them to know. So when it comes to, for example, Imam al-Rida alayhi salam eating from that fruit, one answer is that in that case, Imam al-Rida alayhi salam didn't want to know about that, about the fact that this is poisonous, because God didn't want him to know that. And the same is true about Imam Ali alayhi salam going to the Mosque of Kufa.
Right.
This is one answer which is typically given to this question.
It's a good answer. So in essence, it says that Allah has given them knowledge and giving them perhaps access to more knowledge if they ask for it.
If they ask for it.
But because they want what Allah wants, they know that if Allah wanted them to know these things, he would have taught them from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But he has kept them secret for a reason. Perhaps also a test of faith, perhaps.
Yeah.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So this is one of the good answers given to this question that, yeah, although the imams can know if they want, but in some cases they do not want because they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want. So, we have a chapter in Usul al-Kafi that أَنَّ الْأَئِمَّ إِذَا شَاءُ أَن يَعْلَمُوا عَلِمُوا أُرْ عُلِّمُوا. The imams, when they want to know or they are taught. So they have this potential power to know. But this doesn't mean that, I mean, practically speaking, they know all the issues. The next point is about the concept of Bada, which I think we talked about that in one of the previous episodes, and I'm not going to talk about that, I mean, in details, but the knowledge of the imams is based on the tablet of Al-Mahw wal-Ithbat. So according to the concept of Bada, we have two tablets. One of them is the Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, which is only accessible to God and nothing in it is changed. But the other one is the Lawh, the tablet of Al-Mahw al-Ithbat, which means that there might be something in it, but later it is changed.
It will be changed, right.
So the knowledge of the Imams is within the tablet of Al-Mahw al-Ithbat, which means that in some cases, maybe when it comes to the events, we said that we're not talking about religious knowledge.
Of course.
When it comes to the Quran, when it comes about beliefs, when it comes to jurisprudence, everything is the same. But when it comes to some events, it
like
might
death
be that
of a person.
Yeah.
Right.
It might be that the knowledge of the Imam is based on the tablet of Al-Mahw al-Ithbat, but then bada happens, meaning that people come to know that this wasn't the case.
Right.
So in our cases, we can claim that, because we are talking about some events like martyrdom, like marriage, and the knowledge of the Imams are based on their knowledge from that tablet, which can be changed. And it might be different from the preserved tablet.
So that's a different answer. Like in essence, they didn't know because it was changed.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is another answer that can be given to this.
Right.
But talking more specifically about Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam and Ja'da, first of all, we cannot say for sure that Ja'da was a very bad and unrighteous woman from
right.
the beginning.
It's not that she was famous, that she is
exactly.
an evil person.
Exactly.
Right.
Like her father, Ash'as, in some periods, he was a supporter of Imam Ali alayhi salam, but later he changed. Anyway, because some historical, we know that she was deceived by Muawiyah, according to some reports, to poison Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. But according to some historical accounts and reports, first, rejected this malicious offer by the Muawiyah. But later, other people insisted, and then she was deceived. So when we read this, that she was deceived, it means that we cannot claim that for sure at the time of marriage, she was also a very bad lady, she was unrighteous.
Right.
And why Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam accepted.
She was like corrupt from the start.
No, she wasn't like this. So when she seems to be a righteous woman at the beginning, Imam Hasan or Imam Ali alayhi salam, they are not going to act upon their knowledge of the unseen that later she
right.
will poison the Imam. No, this is not the case. They cannot act, as I mentioned, as the firstborn like this. It's very likely that she was a righteous woman at first, but later she was deceived by Muawiyah. And it's not only her. Many great companions of, not many, there are a couple of other people from the companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam who were deceived by Muawiyah as well, while they were, great supporters of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But at the time of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, they were deceived by Muawiyah. So it doesn't mean that Imam Ali alayhi salam should turn away from them at his time too, because he knows that
right.
they will be deceived by Muawiyah. There are a couple of points remaining regarding this question.
Yes, but we are unfortunately out of time, dear Sheikh. I would like to thank you for joining us today and again sharing with us your valuable knowledge, and also like to thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين حسين وحسن.
Food for thought.
Salam. Let us start by listening to some thought-provoking statements from Imam Hasan Mujtaba, peace upon him, on the eve of his blessed birth anniversary. Asceticism is the desire for God-fearing and the abstinence from the worldly pleasures, while clemency is the suppression of one's anger and self-possession. Shortly after Russia's attack on Ukraine, the United States, along with a number of European countries, orchestrated an array of sanctions on Moscow. With the ruble falling to a new low, Biden claimed that the sanctions were already working. He said the severe economic sanctions on Putin and all those folks around him, choking off access to technology as well as cutting off access to the global financial system, it's had a profound impact already. Biden's statement, however, is in a stark contrast with the reality of sanctions, economic tools frequently used by the West, in particular the US, yet unable to reach their objectives most of the time, whether it is to end a war, stop genocide, or seek regime change.
Today I'm announcing that we're adding dozens of names to the list, including one of Russia's wealthiest billionaires, and I'm banning travel to America by more than 50 Russian oligarchs, their families, and their close associates.
Among the worst sanction failures, Iraq has an undisputed place. 4 days after Iraq's attack on Kuwait in 1990, the UN imposed sanctions that banned world trade with Baghdad. The UN imposed sanctions that banned world trade with Baghdad. The war ended 6 months later with the US-led military intervention, but the sanctions dragged on. While the sanctions left Iraq's economy in tatters, they had little impact on Saddam Hussein himself. By 2003, it is estimated that nearly 1.5 million Iraqis, primarily children, had died as a direct consequence of sanctions. That's while Saddam Hussein and his inner circle maintained their lavish lifestyles all along.
They used to live a reasonable life. They could spend, they could change their car every 3 years or 2 years. They could go on holidays outside of Iraq. Now they're taking the $3 a month or $2 a month, US dollars. What can they buy?
Another glaring example is North Korea. Sanctions and embargoes, first imposed on the country after the Korean War in the 1950s, have been a total failure. Despite all the sanctions, Pyongyang has ironically become better armed. The world's most isolated country is now estimated to have dozens of nuclear weapons and long-range missiles. The same failure story of sanctions is true of Cuba, a country which has faced layers of U.S. trade and arms embargoes since 1960. Despite that, communism is still in power in the backyard of the United States. The White House has declared the new sanctions on Russia are based on the Iran model, but four decades of sanctions on Tehran have repeatedly failed to reach their objectives in the country. In the words of Stuart Levy, the Treasury official who orchestrated sanctions on Iran, "I racked up about a million frequent flyer miles to get this much concerted action on Iran." And yet the result is far from satisfactory, not least because the illegal sanctions have prompted the Iranian nation to seek self-dependence in as many fields and areas as possible. Sanctions often prompt a country's population to rally around the flag. Whoever is imposing the sanctions is viewed as the enemy, according to Steve Hank, professor of applied economics at Johns Hopkins University. In other words, sanctions may backfire and not only don't cause regime change, but they might help a nation get more united in the face of the enemy. Under Donald Trump alone, Washington imposed more than 1,000 sanctions on Tehran. The aim was to get the Iranians to negotiate a broader deal than the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement, known also as the JCPOA. But the maximum pressure, as it used to be called, turned out to be an abysmal failure. Tehran made it clear that it was not interested in a new agreement over its peaceful nuclear program, and after the US withdrew from the 2015 agreement, it rolled back its commitments in accordance with the JCPOA. In the case of Russia, while the US and Russia are not dependent on each other, the same is not true of Europe and Russia, at least when it comes to energy. A total economic blockade would likely hurt Europe as much as Russia. Consumers in the UK, for instance, are going to have to come to terms with a lengthy period of rising energy bills to a great extent as a result of sanctions on Russia. By and large, sanctions fail unless there is near universal cooperation from other states. In the case of Cuba, for instance, few other states cooperated with the American embargo, which meant the country could get resources from many sources other than the US. As for Russia, Moscow can likely count on China as a willing buyer of Russian oil and other resources. Moreover, if Moscow faces a restricted number of buyers for oil, China will be able to obtain Russian resources at a discount. It means by imposing sanctions on Russia, the Americans are unintentionally helping its main economic rival have cheaper Russian energy resources. As long as Russia can continue to trade with sizable economies like China, Mexico, and Brazil, it will not face the sort of isolation the US hopes to impose. Sanctions might also bring undesirable side effects. For example, sanctions increase the economic distress on Haiti, triggering a troublesome exodus of people from Haiti to the United States. Or in just another case, military sanctions against Pakistan increased its reliance on a nuclear option because the sanctions cut off Islamabad's access to US weaponry and undermined Pakistani confidence in American reliability. Perhaps South Africa, during the era of racial apartheid, is a rare sanctions success story. Back then, sanctions contributed to the end of apartheid, although it took them almost three decades to work. But even then, sanctions unintentionally helped the country in some important areas. For example, in the face of an embargo on energy imports, the South Africans developed a world-class system to make oil from coal. Or when they were banned from importing arms, they ramped up production and became a net exporter. South Africa was still able to develop its first nuclear device in 1982, and by 1989, it already had six bombs. Despite all the significant flaws in imposing sanctions, the United States still persists on using them. Isn't it time for the Americans to give serious diplomacy a second thought?
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Sunny skies and spring temperatures made for the perfect setting for the 65th birthday of Fatu, the world's oldest gorilla living at Berlin Zoo. At this age, the Western lowland gorilla is what Berlin Zoo calls almost something of a legend. Gorillas living in the wild have a life expectancy of about 40 years, and at 65, she has been the world's oldest living gorilla for a while. 65 is absolutely extraordinary, and that obviously needs to be celebrated in style.
They mainly get vegetables, and the sugar they receive at most is fruit sugar, and that's what she saw for today in the shape of raspberries and blueberries. They were the decoration on rice cake made of boiled rice, a thin layer of rice and some curd so it sticks together. The bottom was made of a lot of green stuff, then the lion and lettuce.
According to Berlin Zoo, Western lowland gorillas are now an endangered species after their natural habitat was continuously decimated, and therefore fewer and fewer animals live in the tropical rainforest of Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Gabon, and the Republic of Congo. World of Opera is opening its doors to the deaf community for the very first time. The Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra has teamed up with the Deaf West Theater to stage a production of Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio, at their home at the Walt Disney Hall. The chorus will be performed by the White Hands Choir, a group from Venezuela consisting of disabled children and young adults who sing as well as sign. The production pairs up a singer and a deaf actor to both inhabit the one role on stage. Having deaf actors perform alongside opera singers, however, has its challenges, not least of which is keeping up the rhythm of the music.
I think probably that there's a lot of tempo that I've been rehearsing. A lot of times when the singers hold the same word, but the next time they say that exact same word in the next few bars, they don't hold it as long. So trying to remember all of those is very difficult. So are they holding this for 4 beats or 2 beats? Or what word is this in this thing?
I feel like the challenge with opera is that it's very fluid and it's not repetitive. The tempos change throughout it, and night to night it even changes. The conductor, you know, kind of changes how he conducts things each night, and so that is something that is challenging.
The opera singers also give small cues to the actors, like opening a letter or sitting down or standing up, to keep them informed where they are in the piece. The deaf cast use theatrical ASL, or American Sign Language, in the production. DJ Kurse, the producer at the Deaf West Theater, says the performance is a little bit more poetic and a little bit more kind of picturesque.
A startup in the U.S. state of California is turning science fiction into reality by sending tiny robots on a fantastic voyage inside humans to treat brain disorders. The smart cells are small enough to be injected and can be carefully guided through the brain using magnetic coils placed outside of the patient's skull. The coils are linked to a computer that can remotely maneuver the robots through delicate pathways into the affected part of the brain. The micro-robots are also removed by rewinding them through the same route. The developers at Bionaut Labs say these robots are extremely important when it comes to zero-failure-sensitive surgeries.
For localized conditions such as cancer tumors, stroke, atherosclerotic plaque buildup, localized pain, and many other conditions, there is a real need to have a microrobotic, precise, remote-controlled mechanism that can treat a condition only at a specific point and nowhere else.
The startup has already tested the robots on large animals. Inventors hope to use the robot to pierce fluid-filled cysts within the brain when clinical trials on humans begin in 2 years. If approved, they could offer key advantages over more invasive and dangerous treatments for brain disorders. Floating solar panels help landowners benefit from underused body of water. Now, a German company is covering 14,000 square meters of a lake with these panels, turning it into the biggest solar park in the country. The park is built by a family-owned company called Quartzwerk, which specializes in extracting and processing industrial minerals. The company says it wants to become independent of fossil energy sources amid rising energy prices. The head of the Floating Panel Corporation says they will be generating around 3 million kilowatts per hour of green electricity on the surfaces of Limmersheim Lake in southern Germany.
The
plant can make a super big contribution to the land-neutral energy transition, because here an unused lake that was previously used for gravel extraction is being converted into a power plant for renewable energy.
Installation and maintenance of the panels are easy and safe, while they also offer a significant reduction in evaporation from the water surface. According to the company, this will save around 1,100 tons of carbon dioxide each year.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A restaurant in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta is taking fine dining to new heights, literally and figuratively, by giving diners a one-of-a-kind experience 50 meters above ground. The restaurant is called Lounge in the Sky. Diners are securely strapped into seats fixed to a table and are hoisted into the air using a heavy-duty lift. First, the gourmet meals are prepared in the main kitchen. Then, the food is loaded onto the platform where the dishes are plated and served to the patrons. The suspended guests are able to take advantage of breathtaking views as they gently rotate at great heights.
At first, it was not easy. I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to swallow the food, let alone drink. But after some time, I could eventually eat. It was thrilling.
While enjoying the meals, the guests use seat belts and the accompanying staff are equipped with safety harnesses. The guests are also briefed on safety regulations before the platform is raised. Diners call the one-hour experience exhilarating and worth the high price. The project developers say the restaurant was aimed at reviving local and international tourism sector after a big slump during the COVID-19 pandemic. The culinary experience is a first in Indonesia and the third in the world after Belgium and Malaysia.
South Koreans are getting outside to enjoy the open air with a local cherry blossom festival in central Seoul. This is while the country has been dealing with an ongoing surge of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. With some performances and the beauty of spring, many people look forward to turning the corner on the pandemic. Frank Smith has a story.
Spring has come to South Korea, and the cherry blossoms are blooming. COVID-19 restrictions on gatherings are finally being eased, and at Ansan Park in central Seoul, a small festival is bringing everyone back out.
I first came here with my friends 4 years ago, but we couldn't come for the past 2 years because of COVID. I was impressed to see so many people no longer being overly careful about COVID, and we're also very happy to be able to attend festivals like this one.
South Koreans have been quite diligent in observing social distancing guidelines and wearing masks. The Omicron variant of COVID-19 has been quite severe here, with cases only recently declining below 200,000 per day. Still, the government's decided to open up. From the open-air stage, Noh Ah Ram and his band entertain a crowd that's anxious to finally get outside and enjoy group activities.
Ever since COVID, and particularly for the entirety of 2021, when the pandemic was at its peak, I have been unable to perform. I felt today was a restart. Spring has come, the weather's great, the blossoms beautiful, and I felt all of this was celebrating today's show.
South Korea's vaccination rate is nearly 90%, with children now getting the jab.
At first, I was very scared of COVID as I felt it was life-threatening. But now I feel okay with it because I consider it an experience and a certain reality. Also, I worry less because of the vaccines and the new medications.
The cherry blossoms blooming has been tracked from Jeju Island in the south and up to the capital as warm weather moved north. And with this change in seasons, attitudes toward life with COVID are changing as well. Frank Smith, Seoul.
The first all-private space crew has successfully docked at International Space Station after spending over 20 hours en route. Three paying customers and a former NASA astronaut will spend 10 days aboard the ISS. The tourists will participate in scientific research, including stem cell experiments and exploring how the body ages in space. The civilian crew were launched into space in a SpaceX rocket from the Kennedy Space Center on Friday. The trip was brokered by Axiom Space, which is the U.S.-based startup that coordinates rocket rides and provides necessary training. It's not the first time paying customers have visited the ISS. Russia sold seats on a Soyuz spacecraft last year. But this is the first mission that includes a crew entirely comprised of civilians.
new selfie museum in Sweden is flipping the script by making visitors both the artist and the exhibit. The establishment is dubbed the Museum and is in a shopping mall in Stockholm. Unlike other selfie museums, this one has no works of art on its walls. Instead, its brightly decorated rooms are meant to serve as fun backgrounds for visitors to take their selfies or shoot videos in. Other rooms let the visitors bury themselves in candy-colored foam bricks, strike a pose under neon lights, or sit on a huge colorful swing. The manager says the museum is interactive and lets the visitors be the artists themselves in order to create the art they want to see. The Drone Show Korea 2022 has been held at the Busan Exhibition and Convention Center, BEXCO. It featured 137 companies and 533 booths, making this year's incarnation the largest in the show's six-year history. The event also featured the participation of a large international industry representatives from Japan and Western Europe. A highlight of this year's event was military technology centered around the unveiling of new indigenous UAVs. This year's show marks a long-endurance liquid hydrogen drone produced by a South Korean company. These developments reflect South Korea's attempt to improve resilience and revolutionize its approach to warfare. The event puts on display the importance of drone industry in various spheres, including defense purposes. More than 163 wildlife species have been released back into lagoons and forests in Colombia's Casanare province after being seized and rehabilitated by authorities fighting wildlife trafficking. These include 15 different species such as anteaters, turtles, macaws, a toucan, and a leopard. They were nurtured back to health by fauna vets from an environmental authority in charge of managing sustainable development. The authority, Corporinoquia, released more than 1,200 animals back into the wild in 2021 alone. Colombia is one of the world's most biodiverse countries by square kilometer and is home to some 10% of the world's flora and fauna.
A super rare birth has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia. The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered 8 miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. Fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching, along with other threats, has brought the species to the brink of extinction.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about fasting and self-control.
Oh Ramadan, must the mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan. Month of mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
Today, Saturday, is the 14th of The month of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At first step, we listen to the Holy Quran, which is chapter Ar-Rahman, verses 22 to 25.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يخرج منهما اللؤلؤ والمرجان.
From both of them emerge pearl and coral.
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
وله الجوار المنشآت في البحر كالأعلام.
And to him belong the ships with sails elevated in the sea like mountains.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
مَا لَنَا رَبٌّ سِوَى.
Resuming the account of divine blessings, the blessed verse 22 is saying that pearl and coral come out of the twine seas. It is worthy of note that interesting adornments are made of pearl and coral. Many benefits are accrued out of them. Thus, they are being referred to as two blessings. Pearls are transparent and precious things, fostered in mothers of pearl in the depth of the seas. The larger they are, the more precious they become. They are also used in many medical treatments. Told you at the beginning of this episode of today's special, we're going to speak about fasting and self-control. Spiritual fasting during Ramadan is treated as an act of obedience that empowers an individual's spiritual side. It strengthens powers of self-control and prevents wrongful desires. It also improves self-restraint, which is basically the ability to control actions and emotions. During fasting, an individual is refrained from acting upon natural human urges. Islam believes that besides helping with self-control for food and drink, fasting also helps build character. An individual who fasts is also expected to control harsh talk, verbal abuse, and prevent expressing dislike to other fellow human beings. Therefore, fasting can help improve moral conduct and behavior too.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the relationship between observing fasting and fighting our carnal desires. Carnal desires are quite natural. We can't say that there's any person who isn't deceived by his or her carnal desires. Even in the case of the divine prophet Joseph, I mean, in the case of the story of the divine prophet Joseph, as indicated in the Holy Quran, we find that Joseph indicated and asserted that وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Carnal desires influence people, influence souls, save the divine grace comes to help. This, what's indicated in the philosophy of fasting is that, according to Imam Ali alayhi salam, صَوْمُ النَّفْسَ عَنْ لَذَّاتِ الدُّنْيَا أَنْفَعُ الصِّيَامِ. Observing fasting such that our souls are prohibited from benefiting from the worldly pleasures is the best type of fasting. So we find that some jobs may not be prohibited in the rest of the year, throughout the rest of months in the year. However, they are strongly and strictly prohibited to be practiced, in the month Ramadan. For example, throughout the other months of the year, nobody is banned, in natural circumstances, in natural states. Nobody is banned from drinking water or, for example, having food or, for example, eating fruit. However, we find that even drinking a drop of water is strictly prohibited throughout the daytime in the month Ramadan. This is because, we find that in the month Ramadan, special considerations, special measures are going to be taken, and they must be strictly observed. Okay, nobody should say that, okay, this is just, for example, two drops of water, it wouldn't harm my fasting. No, according to Islamic instructions, these strict rules should be observed one by one and in detail, without exception. And at the same time, what's important in this regard is that fasting of the heart or fasting of soul is better than fasting of tongue or fasting of mouth, and fasting of mouth and fasting of speaking is better than fasting of abdomen. We find that some moral observances and moral considerations are taken in view in this regard. According to the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, when someone observes a fasting, it shouldn't be just in terms of, for example, not eating or drinking. Rather, for example, in terms of seeing, in terms of, for example, hearing, in terms of touching, in terms of other considerations, a person must indicate that, must show that he observes a fasting according to its own measures. Thank you.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind. Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
This is today's special you're listening to, and we're speaking about fasting, the hidden key to success. Fasting is the most natural and effective way to cleanse the body and mind. But most importantly, in this context, it is the most effective way to us to regain control of ourselves. Fasting is making a conscious choice to abstain from all or certain types of food and liquids. It is nature's oldest, most effective method of rebuilding the body's own healing powers and strengthening the mind's ability to be disciplined. Like muscles, self-control increases when exercised. Human beings must eat and nourish the body in order to survive. But there is an emotional attachment affiliated with eating that often leads to overindulgence. As a result, we unconsciously tend to overindulge in food and content. We consciously and unconsciously consume hordes of data from the time we wake up until the time we go to sleep. No concentration, no discipline. So what better way to attack lack of self-control than fasting? Psychology, self-control, and potential benefits fasting. The fast that is ushered in by Ramadan is perhaps the most comprehensive act within Islam in relation to promoting self-control. Muslims are commanded to abstain from ingesting food, drink, and any other substance from sunrise to sunset. A Muslim's utilization of their self-control capacities more often than not goes beyond the denial of these desires. Gossiping, backbiting, lying, and speaking nastily to others have the potential of rendering one's fast invalid. Avoiding engaging in these is an act of self-control made all the more difficult by the reality that being in a state of hunger and or thirst can leave one all the more on edge and likely to snap back at something that has irked us. The teaching of Prophet of Islam Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and his pure progeny to respond to any provocation during the month of Ramadan with a passive and gentle phrase, "I am fasting," is from among the beautiful practices of the month. This is also an act that requires self-control.
My dear brothers and sisters, in the month of Ramadan, this is the time to care for people. This is why we have at the end of the month, on the day of Eid, everyone has to give. It's an obligation upon every Muslim to give the Zakat al-Fitrah. Why? Because the whole month we should remember and we should think of those who are in need, so that we have to give them as well. We have to support them. My dear brothers and sisters, you know, in the month of Ramadan, a lot of food is wasted. We waste so much food during the month of Ramadan because we're hungry the whole day. So we keep saying, I'm going to eat this, I'm going to eat that, I'm going to eat this and that. And then once it comes time to eat, you take a bite from here and a bite from there and that's it. You can't eat anymore. But so much food got wasted. So first of all, we have to think of a way, something to do with the food that is left over. And second, we shouldn't overindulge. The whole purpose of fasting is to remind ourselves to live simply, not to come and waste so much. Now, there's nothing wrong with putting 100 types of food on the table. If you're going to eat it, alhamdulillah, eat it all. Don't let it go to waste. That's the most important thing. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ Allah says, those who waste, they are the brothers of the shayateen. So this is another point, my dear brothers and sisters.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Please keep us in your prayers and du'as. And there is nothing else, just fi amanillah.
جلسة القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران.
جسد القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.